Devils Productions presents The Great Deep.
Hello and welcome. This is episode number 38 of The Great Deep. I'm Ryan Calder, the host of the show, and this series runs parallel to the music of The Great Deep album and explores a little bit deeper some of the issues and ideas from the themes in the music. So I've always maintained that sport and music are excellent parallel metaphors for how we live our life. Like, for example, there are days when life seems like a big match, or more acutely, like some form of race, and then other days it feels like a song or a concert. My dad is a guitarist as well as a marathon runner. My mom sang alto in the choir and loves walks around the neighborhood. And so growing up for me, I understood life through these metaphorical lenses. Some days life is rock and roll, and other days are a ballad. Some seasons are a tough hill climb, and others are sections of easy flats and downhills. There are long straights as well as plenty of twists and turns, and that's life. A few weeks ago, I had surgery to repair an inguinal hernia. And 2 weeks later, I was back at the doctor's room again, only to discover that somehow I had hand, foot, and mouth. The doctor prescribed some meds and instructed me to keep a low profile and rest. Now, on some level, it feels good to be told to rest. It's kind of like you can take a deep breath and go, okay, I need to not put my body through any stress. I need to just lie down and watch Netflix, eat, and sleep. I mean, who doesn't want to take it easy? Only those who are addicted to a life otherwise. Athletes and adrenaline junkies, those kind of people who are hooked on being perceived as tougher, stronger, survival of the fittest, and all that. And I concede that I am addicted. You tell any pro or elite or age group athlete that he or she needs to sit down and take a rest is basically like telling a puppy to sit. Concepts just simply foreign. So I find I've been having to reform certain narratives in my head. Now, some of these might sound really silly to you, but they are narratives that I've had for a long time, and they've kept me on the straight and narrow. It's narratives like these. If I don't exercise, I'll grow fat and lazy. If I'm fat and lazy, that will affect my family in negative ways, like my wife won't find me attractive, and my kids will grow up with a blueprint of a dad who just sits around all day long. Also, the world places a high value on results. So how do I find my place in the world if I'm not delivering results? And I mean, striving is good, right? No pain, no gain. Also, I need exercise to stay sane. So I tick all the boxes above, and it helps me with endorphins and basically an ability to cope. But after thinking about this, I found myself questioning the narratives and asking, do I have to do all those things, or is there another way? I learned something watching YouTube, as we all do. In this instance, it was the triathlete Lionel Sanders. And I've written a blog about this, which I'll link to in the show notes. But basically what happened was he had a race with his normal cameraman who does all his vlog updates. His name is Talbot Cox, and he is a fantastic vlogger. You should have a look at him if you haven't. And the idea was that the two of them were going to race up Mount Lemmon, which is in Arizona. So Lionel's a pro athlete, obviously incredibly fit, like superhuman. And Talbot is like you and I, average. And so the idea was that they were going to race out up Mount Lemmon, and Lionel was not allowed to raise his heart rate over 110 beats per minute, and Talbot could go as fast as he want. The result was fascinating because Talbot tried to keep up with Lionel in the beginning and skyrocketed his heart rate to 195 beats a minute. And needless to say, he blew. Lionel, on the other hand, sauntered up this hectic climb, no problem. Now, what's interesting is that at the end, Lionel's reflection on the whole thing was that Talbot would definitely have increased his pace if he hadn't started as fast. In other words, if he hadn't started trying to keep up with him and done it at an easy pace, he probably would have coped better and increased and got faster as he went up the hill. The problem was that he just flooded his system with everything else that was in there by increasing his heart rate so high, and then spent the rest of the climb basically just trying to cope. I'll put the link to that vlog in the show notes. It's a fascinating episode to look at. But for me, the lesson was this: slow right down. The second lesson is this: it's all in your head. Growing up with a father who was a marathon runner, both training and racing, we were privy to nuggets of wisdom from the endurance world every now and again as kids. And the undercurrent was that most challenges are just about always overcome in your mind. So I remember a couple of things my dad saying as I was growing up. He would say, the hardest part of going for a training run is putting your shoes on. The other thing he would say is, no, what you need is a good swab of Vaseline about 3 inches up your nose. It was things like that that really kind of instilled in me that a lot of things can be overcome mentally. Now, there's plenty of wisdom there, and I like what the book of Proverbs says in chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, get wisdom, develop good judgment. And that whole chapter talks about listening to your elders and people who have done all the stuff before. So I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've since reformed the narratives in my head, and they go like this: I'll get to exercise again once I'm rested, and I'll be grateful. My family will learn from a season of rest and just allowing some time together, and they know that it's just a moment in time. They know me better than to know I'm going to sit still for the rest of my life. And they also see me being disciplined by not rushing the healing process. And while the world places a high value on results and getting things done, you have to make sure that you actually finish, and you finish well, rather than limping over the finish line like Talbot Cox in that challenge that he did with Lionel. The striving really is in your mind, and the best endurance athletes know when it's time for pain, in order to maximize the gain. I can do other things besides exercise to stay sane, and they are fulfilling in different ways. Yep, life is a marathon, not a sprint. And the older I get, the more cliches I encounter. But cliches are cliches for a reason, and the marathon definitely is in the mind. The third lesson that I've learned is that the battle in your mind is helped considerably when you have the right people alongside you. You can reform narratives in your head when you choose to listen to wiser and more experienced people than you. And this is why the best endurance athletes in the world and other athletes in the world work with coaches, and they listen to them because they have an objective viewpoint, which is generally that they know better and they can see things clearer. So when the going gets difficult, you have someone that you can turn to and can give you perspective, can coach you, can mentor you. And this is part of the concept of the song Tea Bags for Tears.
The lyrics.
The chorus line is supposed to be an uplifting one, and I quote, "These are temporary woes, and this is how the story goes." The idea is that this too shall pass. We'll get there in the end together. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, and we'll make it together.
Nuggets of wisdom.
Nugget of wisdom.
Stephen Saylor is a researcher of physiology. He studied how the best athletes in the world actually become the best athletes in the world. For years, he grew up believing the mantra, no pain, no gain. And in a TEDx talk, he reveals a moment when he went back to the drawing board. He says this.
I was jogging out on forest trails near my home, and I saw a woman running in front of me. I recognized her because we had tested her in the laboratory, and I knew she was a well-trained endurance athlete, better trained than me. But what she did next surprised me. She came to the bottom of a short but steep hill, and instead of running up the hill, she started walking briskly. And then when she reached the top, she continued running again. Now, personally, I have never met a hill during training that I didn't at least try to run up, panting and straining all the way. No pain, no gain. So why did this woman, who is well-trained, choose to walk instead of run that day?
2 decades later, what has emerged is a fascinating account of how the best athletes train. In a word, easy. Here's what he says.
Studying the best athletes in the world has shown us something else, and that is that the process is not about pain and suffering and brutal training in the red zone every day. The process is about enjoyment, persistence, patience, and spending a lot of time in the green zone. So get out the door. Go to the fitness center or local forest trail. And if you hear that voice in your head that screams, no pain, no gain, ignore it. Find your green zone. And when you do that and stay there for a while, you are already training like a champion.
So, if you have any thoughts on this philosophy, and I know that there will be arguments against it, I would really welcome the dialogue. So, please feel free to get in touch with me via email or Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. All the links will be posted in the show notes. But that's it for this episode of the podcast. And as usual, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share if you enjoyed this. And check out other episodes. Leave a comment and join the discussion. Till next time, keep pondering the great deep.